Anybody excited to be here?
Anybody excited to be here? Give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the I Am that I Am, the Lion of Judah, the Rose of Sharon, Jehovah Mekadesh, Jehovah Kereyesha, the God who was not elected, he was not appointed, he was not selected, he was not nominated, and his position is not contested. The ageless, dieless, tireless, weariless, limitless, faithless God, give him a clap, a shout, and a leap of joy. A clap, a shout, a leap of joy. Hallelujah. To sing that song, I wish that the lyrics could be on the screen. God gave us that song early this year. Said, are you weighed down by battles in life? Are you thinking of quitting the race? There is no need to give up on your journey, because I know my God will turn it around. Have you suffered from disappointments? Have some people turn their backs on you? Just keep holding on to the one who cannot disappoint, because I know God shall turn it around. Are you feeling that you are all alone? Do you feel that God has forsaken you? He has promised to keep you till the end of the journey, and I know my God will turn it around. Do we have the lyrics on the screen? Go. All right, the music can go. Are you weighed down by battles?
Are you weighed down by battles?
Somebody say, I know my God will turn it around. I have seen my God turn it around. There are so many, many, many times in my life that I have seen God turn it around. All right, let's go.
I know my God will turn it around. I have seen my God turn it around.
There are so many times.
There are so many, many, many times in my life that I have seen my God turn it around.
Sing it again.
I know my God will turn it around.
I have seen
my God turn it around.
There are so many times.
There are so many, many, many times in my life when I have seen my God turn it around.
Are you weighed down by battles in life? Are you thinking of quitting the race? There is no need to give up on your journey, because I know my God will turn it around. I know
my God will turn it around.
Can somebody turn around? Turn around.
I have seen my God turn it around.
You believe it? Turn around. So many times.
There are so many.
too.
Are you way down? Completing the race, there is no need to give up on your journey, because I know my God will turn it around. Verse 2, have you suffered from disappointments? Have some people turned their backs on you? Just keep holding unto the one who cannot disappoint. I know my God will turn it around. I know
my God will turn it around.
Somebody say,
I have seen my God turn it around.
Mashangala, yeah, 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 yeah. Shout of hallelujah. A turn around, hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we give you the praise and the honor because of this evening. We appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate your mercy. We say, Lord, be thou glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Father, do something with us tonight that only you can do. Do something with us tonight that only you can do. Touch somebody's life. Change somebody's life. Change somebody's destiny. Father, give us an impact that will last time and eternity. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing and answering. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Help me shake the hands of three people and congratulate them and tell them, get ready for the touch of God. And then you might be seated. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Just before the media rolls a CD quickly, I want to appreciate our Daddy Gio, for the privilege of standing on this exalted altar. I appreciate Mommy Gio as well for the grace of God that has passed through their lives to affect our lives. For me, my first encounter with Daddy is in the year of 1979. And I believe that that impact, as transient as it was, left a deposit that will never live for time and eternity. We appreciate you, Daddy. We appreciate you, Mommy. We appreciate, can we give the Lord a big clap of hand for what they represent to our generation? Integrity, productivity, prosperity, impact. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. I'd like to appreciate the youth and young people ministry of the RCCG, Pastor Peter Amen Kenam, who is the AGO in that regard. We appreciate you, sir. We appreciate Pastor Dari and all the team of the pastors. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be here. We trust God that it shall not be abused, in Jesus' precious name. Any young people here, say amen. Amen. Now, I released a CD recently, and it is for young people and anybody young at heart. We title it Antidepressant. In case you are depressed, that is what to listen to. And I want the track 5. Track 4. Track 4 is Yoruba. I need the track 5 now. The track 5. Oh Lord, I thank you. I give you all the praise for the great things you have done in my life. Oh Lord, thank you. Do you have it? Antidepressant track 5. They don't have it yet. All right. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. They are not ready for it yet. Maybe tomorrow morning or sometime they'll be ready for it. Am I to wait for it? Somebody lift your right hand and say, Father, today you will do something in my life. Say, Father, I receive the grace to be exceptional. I shall fulfill my days. I shall be everything you want me to be. Thank you, Master. Are they ready? Father, we give you the praise. Lift your right hand and say, Father, today is my day. Something must happen in my life. I must impact my generation. I must fulfill my days. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hold the hand of someone by your side briefly and pray and ask. Please, when you are ready, you let us know. Hold the hands of someone and say, Father, drop something in the life of this brother, of this sister, that shall last time and eternity. In the name of Jesus. So put your mouth and pray very sharply. 5 minutes. It's too long. Of Jesus. Now you shall say, Father, give me a deposit that will make me to affect my generation. A deposit that will mark my generation for time and eternity. Lift your voice and speak to God. A deposit. A life-changing deposit. A destiny-molding deposit. I receive that deposit to mark my generation. I receive it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father, because you are God. In Jesus' precious name. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, just for the sake of saving time, and in verse 9. They are ready? Should I go on? Should I go on with that, with the sound? Just 3 minutes. Somebody say, oh Lord, thank you. If you hear it and you feel like dancing, you can. All right. Studio. Now, you know what? Let's agree and do it tomorrow, okay? God bless you. Track 5. I wanted track 5. I'll sing the Yoruba one tomorrow. This is a track.
Thank you. Oh Lord. Thank you. We praise your name, O Lord. We give you all the praise. You are worthy, Lord, of our praise. We praise your name, O Lord. We give you all the praise. You are worthy, Lord, of our praise. O Lord, thank you. O Lord,
don't look. Are you dancing?
O Lord, thank you. O Lord, thank you. O Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name for the great things, Lord, you have done. We worship you, O Lord. We magnify your name for the great things, Lord, you have done. O Lord, thank you. 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 Thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. For the decree that you gave, for standing by our side. You are worthy, Lord, of our praise. For the victory that you gave, for standing by our side. You are worthy, Lord, of our praise. Oh Lord.
Are you dancing or you are just watching?
Oh Lord. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
Let him come.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, take your seat. Father, we thank you. And we give you the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. More tomorrow, more tomorrow. Anybody want more tomorrow? Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Somebody shout, hallelujah! Please, you might be seated. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 9, he said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I have been asked to speak in this session on the subject exceptional vessel. Exceptional vessel. Lift your right and say, I am an exceptional vessel. The question is, what does it mean for something to be exceptional? I am going to give five definitions of what it means for something to be exceptional, for a person to be exceptional, or for a vessel to be exceptional. Number one, it means to be unusual. It means to be unusual, to be uncommon. When we say a person is exceptional, a man is exceptional, or a woman is exceptional, it means that that person is an uncommon person. It means that that person is an unusual person. Number two, what does it mean to be exceptional? Number two, it means to be distinguished. It means to be unique. It means to be peculiar. That is, to be distinguished, to be unique, to be peculiar, to be excellent, to be a first-rate person. Again, it means to be distinguished, to be distinct, to be unique, to be excellent, to be a first-rate person. When we say a person is a peculiar person or an exceptional person, it means he is far from average. He is far from the status quo. He is far from mediocrity. And I believe there is somebody here. It is you that is being described. And if you are the one, shout aloud, amen. To be exceptional, number three, means to be unprecedented, unheard of. Unprecedented, unheard of. Such something that appears not to have existed previously. To be unprecedented, to be unheard of, such as not previously existent. What does it mean? To be exceptional. Number four, it means to be unrivaled, unrivaled. There is no rival, no equal. To be unrivaled, to be unequaled, to be unsurpassed. If you are going to say it in another way, it means to be in a class of your own. It means to be in a league of your own. No rival, no successful competitor. What does it mean to be exceptional? Number five, and the final, it means to be phenomenal, to be phenomenal, to be remarkable, to be phenomenal, to be a project topic, something to be understudied. I believe that before this session is over tonight, a mantle is coming upon somebody that is going to make you unusual, make you uncommon, make you peculiar, make you unprecedented, make you unrivaled, make your life phenomenal. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Somebody lift up your right hand and confess this with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am a vessel for God, and I am a peculiar vessel. I am an exceptional vessel. I am unusual. I am uncommon. I am distinct. I am excellent. I am unique. I am not average. I am not status quo. I am unprecedented. I am unrivaled. I have no classmate. I am in a class of my own. My life is phenomenal. If you believe you are the one God spoke to just now, give him a loud shout of praise. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Having seen what it means to be exceptional, we shall study the life of a man. There were so many exceptional people in scripture, but we shall study one of them. And his name was David. In Acts chapter 13 and in verse 36. Acts of the Apostles chapter 13 and in verse 36. The Bible said, David, after he served God by the will, after he served his own generation by the will of God, he slept with his fathers. My dear brothers and my sisters, one of the most unusual, one of the most unprecedented, one of the most unique, one of the most peculiar persons, one of the most unrivaled,
One of the most phenomenal persons in scripture was King David. Forget about the mistakes he made. King David was unusual, phenomenal, peculiar. And I am going to tell you 10 reasons why David was exceptional in his generation. Are you ready for that? Number one, David was the only person in the Old Testament that operated as priest, prophet, and king. He was the only person in the Old Testament that was exceptional, that functioned and operated, existed as priest, prophet, and king. In the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and in verse 17 and 18, we saw David offering sacrifice as a priest. In 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 17 to 18, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought, he offered sacrifice as a priest. We saw in the Old Testament the prophecies of King David. When he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. David was a prophet. In Acts chapter 2 verse 29, Peter, talking about David, said he was a prophet. That David was a prophet. In Acts chapter 2 verse 29 and 30. So we saw the priest, we saw the prophet, and we saw the King David. One man, three offices. In the Old Testament, you were either a priest or a prophet or a king. In the New Testament, we have the office of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. But here, we are seeing one man who touched all the offices available. I prophesy to somebody here, in a short time to come, God will catapult you beyond your current limitations. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Why was David exceptional? Number two, David lived a life with fully deployed potential. Fully deployed potential. I just mentioned that David, he maximally utilized his life. I just mentioned that David was a priest and a prophet and a king. But what else? David was a shepherd. David was a singer. David was a songwriter. David was the inventor of music equipment, according to Amos chapter 6 verse 5. David was a lion killer. David was a warrior. He was a war hero, a military general, a people developer, a leadership expert. One man in one lifetime. The Bible said he served God by the will. He served his generation by the will of God, and he slept. He was the man that fully deployed his life's potential. He was the man that maximized his life. He literally achieved in a lifetime what many will not be able to achieve in a thousand lifetimes. Why was David exceptional? David, number three, fought approximately 66 battles and lost none. He was the only one that we can see a major record of a warrior in scripture that never lost a battle. Exceptional. Whatever battle David fought, he won the battle. I want to speak to somebody here today. The last time you lost a battle shall be the last forever. That amen is too paralyzed. Shout a believer's amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. David never turned his back on the enemy. Why was David exceptional? Number four, David was the man that single-handedly delivered his nation from the reproach of Goliath and the Philistines. He single-handedly There were many people there, but there was none that could do what David did. He single-handedly delivered his nation from the reproach called Goliath and the Philistines. Why was David exceptional? Are you ready for point number 5? David was exceptional because he existed with more impact and influence than the king of his day. He existed with more impact and more influence than the king that existed in his day. The name of the king was King Saul. Saul was the positional king, but David was the functional king. No wonder they sang and said, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000. How is it that one person could live such a life where his life was more relevant than the life of the king? That was exceptional. I prophesy to somebody here, in this season, as you leave this youth convention, I announce to you, your generation shall experience your relevance. Experience your relevance. Shout yes. Why was David exceptional? Number 6. He existed as the most skillful player of the musical instrument without being a career musician. He existed as the most skillful player of the music equipment in his generation without being a commercial musician, without being a career musician, without being doing music for a living. They searched through the whole land of Israel to find a man that was skillful enough to deliver King Saul from the demons that afflicted him. They could find not one man except David, who only lent the equipment by worshiping God with it. The only thing he did with the instrument was worship. It was worship. By the worship of God, he came to a level where he was higher than the commercial musicians. I am here to announce to somebody, very soon, grace is coming upon you that will make you to excel above the professionals. Shout the loudest, amen. Number 7. I mean, it wasn't his full-time work, yet he was better than them. Number 7. David was the man who institutionalized worship. He institutionalized the worship of God in Israel. David employed 4,000 worshipers that worshipped by rotation. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and in verse 5. 4,000 worshipers. 24-hour worship schedule. You worship from, let's say, 6 a.m. to 12 noon. You from 12 noon to 6 p.m. You from 6 p.m. to 12 midnight. Worship rotation. He paid them salary to worship. 4,000 worshipers that worship God for the duration of the 40 years that David reigned. He built a tabernacle. It was called the Tabernacle of David. So many years later, when David was gone, God said, I will raise up the Tabernacle of David that was built. I am missing the worship. I am missing the worship that David institutionalized. I am missing that worship. Beloved, there are people seated here today. God is going to use you for the first time to establish something in your generation that was not there before. To establish something in your generation. You are a believer. Shout yes! Lift your right and say, I am exceptional. My life is unusual. I am exceptional. I am unusual. Take your seat. Why was David exceptional? Number 8. He single-handedly restored the glory back to Israel after the glory was lost. Single-handedly. You heard of Ichabod in 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 21. When the ark of the covenant of God was captured and the glory left Israel, David was the man God used in 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 1 to 2. And then in verse 12, David was the man God used to restore back the glory to Israel. There are people seated here. Your family glory that was lost many years ago. They used to be popular people. They used to be rich people. They used to be influential people. And all of a sudden, the glory of that family was lost. I am anointed to announce to you, God will use you to bring back the voice of your family. God will use you to restore the glory of your family. To restore the dignity of your family. If you believe, shout the loudest, amen. Somebody lift the right and say, I am exceptional. I am exceptional. I refuse to be ordinary. I refuse to be usual. I refuse to be average. Can you help me stand up on your feet and walk to seven people? Tell them, I am exceptional. I am exceptional. I cannot be ordinary. I cannot be ordinary. I cannot be usual. I cannot be status quo. I am exceptional. I am exceptional. I am exceptional. Any exceptional person here, give the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a big clap, a big shout, a leap of joy. Announce to you today, you shall not die an ordinary person. You shall not die a usual person. You shall not die an average person. You shall not die a status quo person. Shout yes! About 20 years ago, I had a sticker on my car. It was titled, Why Be Normal? Why be usual? Why be average? Why be like everybody? Why die ordinary? Look at your neighbor, say, why be ordinary? Say, you must refuse to be ordinary. You must decide to be exceptional. Shout yes! Give him a bigger clap, a shout, and a leap of joy. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Every spell of ordinary existence, every spell of normal existence, today it shall die. Before you sit down, I am anointed to announce to you that somebody here, within the next 1 year, your generation shall hear of you. Your generation shall hear of you. Your world shall hear of you. Your family shall hear of you. Shout yes! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Why Why was David exceptional? Number 9, he single-handedly founded the most important city for both time and eternity. It's called the city of Jerusalem. When time expires, you will not hear anything like New York or Paris or here Geneva or here Lagos or here Abuja, but you will continue to hear Jerusalem. Jerusalem on earth and the new Jerusalem that cometh from God. It was founded by David when in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and in verse 7 all the way, he drove out the Jebusites. The Jebusites that were the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Mount Zion, and made it the eternal, indivisible capital of the nation of Israel. My dear brothers and sisters, on the 4th of September, 1995, Jerusalem celebrated 3,000 years anniversary. On the 4th of September, 1995, this is 3,000 years since David, our father, gave us a capital. What a legacy. 3,000 years after the man was gone, his life was still speaking. There are people who have died, like Smith Wigglesworth, like John Graham Lake, like Amy Semple McPherson, like William Wilberforce, like Martin Luther King Jr., like John Wesley, like Parkinda Yomi. They have died many years ago, like A.A. Allen, like Jack Cole, like Oral Roberts. They have died. They cannot be forgotten. But there are people alive and cannot be remembered. They have died many years ago. Some 200 years, some 300 years, some 400 years. David, 3,000 years ago, he founded the city. They cannot be forgotten. But there are those who are alive and cannot be remembered. The difference is impact. Somebody shout impact. Listen, if in this world your presence is not felt, your absence will not be noticed. And if your presence is not felt and your absence is not noticed, then your presence was not needed. You didn't hear what I said? If, don't do that. If your presence is not felt, your absence cannot be noticed. And if your presence is not felt and your absence is not noticed, then your presence was not needed. Look at your neighbor and say, I am needed. Stand up on your feet and shout, I am needed. I am needed. I am exceptional. I must make a mark. I must impact my generation. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat 1 minute. Why was David exceptional? Number 10. He was exceptional because he was the reference king, God's reference king of Israel. Is it that a king does well like David or he didn't do well? How many of you know scripture? Every time God began to speak, he said, Asa, King Asa, did well like his father, King David. Hezekiah did well, but he didn't walk very perfect like the ways of his father David. Solomon did not walk like the ways of his father David. So it is either God is comparing you to David or to Jeroboam. All the evil kings were compared to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that established other altars in Israel. All the good kings were compared to David. He was a reference standard. Hear me. It is when you make a difference that you become a reference. Ay, 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 ay. There is somebody here in your family. You shall make a difference in your community. You must make a difference on your campus. You shall make a difference. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. Somebody give the king a loud shout of praise. I have 15 more minutes to the end of the preaching. And let me say the following things very fast. What are the secrets of an exceptional life? What secrets made David exceptional? I have 12 of them. Number one, guileless passion for God. Guileless passion. A passion that cannot die. Oh Lord my God, early will I seek thee. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2. My soul longeth for you. My soul thirsteth for you. My flesh longeth for you. In a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy glory and thy power, such as I have seen of thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2. And then Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so my heart, my soul panted after you. And then Psalm 27 in verse 4 and 5. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, that I may inquire in his temple. Your passion determines your portion. Your passion for God determines your portion in God. Your passion determines your possession. Your passion determines the unction you can carry. We have a generation of people who have passion for the internet, passion for football, passion for movies. Can sit for 3 hours watching a movie. Can sit for 4 hours watching a football game. They can be in the salon for 3 hours plaiting their hair. Or for 6 hours. I hear that there are some hairstyles that can last for 24 hours. Huh? 2 days. The sisters are telling me 2 days. My challenge is not how long you spent to do the hair, but how much longer you spent before the presence of God. If you can do your hair for 2 days and you cannot wait on the Lord for 4 days, then that hairstyle is a condemnation. You can watch a movie for 3 hours and you cannot spend 3 hours or 6 hours before God, then that movie is your sentence. My son said he wanted a computer game, and we bought a computer game for him, our guy. And I said, for every 1 hour you will watch this thing, you spend 2 hours in prayer. If it is not spendable, then you can't use it. You can't use it. You can't chase it. Am I communicating? Yeah. Mashallah. The passion of your heart determines the direction of your life. If you don't like the way your life is moving, you don't like the direction your life is heading, then check the passion that is in your heart. The passion that is in your heart. I am looking for some red-eyed young men whose eyes are red from prayer. 3 hours in the closet. 5 hours in the closet. Maja lakata lagabaragadas. Katwa kwa swa kwa laga. Lakete berete ke zagadada. Lakwa swa twalala. So that when you step out of the closet, a madman can look at your eyes and start running. And start running. Somebody shout, passion! The truth is that everybody has passion. You want to try me? Some people sit in church. When the message is going on, they are looking at time. They are just yawning. Oh. It doesn't think there's anything to write. It's just watching and moping. Let this service finish on time. But begin to talk about Manchester United and Chelsea and Arsenal. Then his fire will come out. You will realize this man has passion. Begin to talk about a Hollywood movie or a Nollywood film. Then you will see his passion. Begin to talk about the latest model of a particular car or a hairstyle. Then you will see that person's passion. What God is saying is take that passion and put it in God. Give that passion to God and you will be shocked. Give the Lord the praise. Please take your seat. Number two. I told you I'm racing against time. Number two. Secrets of an exceptional life is compassion for the needy. Your heart for people determines your height in life. Your heart for people determines your mark on it. Compassion for the needy. In 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 1, the Bible said, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was distressed, everyone that was discontented, they gathered themselves together to David, and he became their captain. Area boys. Agbero guys. They battered, shattered, scattered, beaten, buffeted, broken. People that their parents gave up on, 400 of them gathered themselves to David, who was not having a house to sleep in. He was sleeping in caves while he was running away from Saul. And inside those caves, he gathered 400 men to himself. If it were, he was eating grass, they ate grass. Whatever he ate, they ate. And God said, is that so? You can take care of 400 riffraffs. I will commit a whole nation into your hand. If the food you are eating does not cross to any other person's mouth, you are not living, you are surviving. There is a difference between living and surviving. Are you ready for this? And David became a captain over them. Hear me. If nobody is learning anything from you, if nobody comes to you and says, sister, brother, I like the way you look. I like your prayer life. I like your character. There is something about you I want. Can you show me this or that? If nobody is asking you the steps you are taking, and the quality of life you are living, the conclusion is that your life is wasting. Nobody is taking steps after your steps. Nobody desires anything out of your life. Nobody is catching fire because you have fire. Nobody is succeeding because they came close to you. Nobody is asking you any secret about your life. The conclusion, doctor, there's something we call spot diagnosis. Without examination, you just look. This is the diagnosis. You haven't examined, you haven't done any laboratory investigation. By looking, say this guy has kwashiorkor. Nobody is learning from you. Stop spot diagnosis. Life wastage syndrome. But you shall not waste. Somebody say a loud amen. Take your seat. Are you still following at all? What are the secrets of an exceptional life? It is dieless passion for God. Number two, compassion for the needy. Are you ready for this? Number three, the acceptance of responsibility. You must cease to continue to behave like a baby. The acceptance of responsibility. David was not the firstborn. He was the eighth born. But he was the one who had enough sense to look after the father's flock. How many families are here when it is time to go to the farm and it is the last born they send? Is there any such family here? The last born, the baby of the house that everybody is rallying around to take care of. Is that the one they sent to the farm or sent to go and fetch water? No, it is the elders. But this family was upside down. Eliab was at home. Shammah was at home. David, number eight, was in the bush. And therefore, when the anointing was looking for a head, it bypassed the irresponsible. It bypassed the irresponsible firstborn. Bypassed the irresponsible secondborn. Bypassed the irresponsible thirdborn. And went to the responsible eighthborn. Am I speaking to somebody here? Responsibility is the foundation for authority. You can never arrive in authority without the acceptance of responsibility. To avoid responsibility is to die a liability. To avoid accepting responsibility is to die as a liability. Everybody carrying your weight for nothing. Take your seat. How many more minutes I have, sir? Listen, listen. You know what God told Samuel? He said, I want you to listen to this young man. He said to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go to the house of Jesse. For I have provided me a king among his sons. The man has not been ordained. He has not been anointed. But God has seen him. While they were seeing ordinary people, God has seen a king among the sons. He said there is a royal material there. There is somebody with royal behavior there. Right there. And there is something I missed. The most important thing about the exceptional nature of David was that he became exceptional as a teenager. He dragged. Somebody say drag. 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 He dragged the attention of a nation as a teenager. 17-year-old boy. SS2. There was something my father used to tell us. He said his father died at the age of 12. He didn't really know his father, but he has succeeded. And then he implied and said something like, you know your father, what will you become? He said, I started business at the age of 18. And now, see where I am. You are 18 now. What are you doing? I like us to wake up. You cannot be exceptional, moving like a was up guy. Yo, man. You cannot be exceptional, hearing in the ear as a boy, and then you are just hanging out. Yo, man, what's up, man? Where is it happening, man? Trousers sagging. Yo, man. When last did you see the president of a nation with a sagging trouser? And with jeans that is torn on the knee. Jeans that is all manner of colors everywhere. When last did you see the governor of a state? And to behave like that is to limit your destiny. You are saying, I am not a palace material. You are saying, I am a street material. I am just somebody hanging around the street. And in case you don't know the history of hanging, sagging, in the state of Florida, they said that when prisoners were arrested, they collected their belts, because many of them used it to hang themselves in the prison. So they collected their belts so that they won't have anything to hang themselves in. So when they are released out of prison, since they don't have belt anymore, they went home and their trousers is sagging. And they are trying to pull it up and it's sagging. And some people suddenly say, oh, that is a latest style has come. You see, prison fashion has come. And you impose on your life the status of a prisoner. And you are not a prisoner. Today, sir, the madman's hair has become a fashion. The madman's hair. Twisted, twisted. So people are envying the hairstyle of a madman. Are you desiring madness? Be responsible. Dress like this as a 15-year-old boy. See this guy. And let them look at you. Behave higher than your age. The age mates of David may be playing somewhere, but he was in the bush fighting lions. Behave higher than your age, and you will achieve what your age mates cannot achieve. Somebody here, take your seat. I am going to rush through the rest of the points. Number three, the acceptance of responsibility. Number four, secrets of an exceptional life. The heart of service. The heart of service. The willingness to serve. The refusal to be a boss. The rejection of posing. Anytime the father of David wanted to send somebody, there was only one person he could think of. That was David. The heart of service. The heart of service, which is also the heart of servanthood. To desire to be a boss is to end in a box. Every time you behave bossy, you box your destiny. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil. Have I anointed him? Oil doesn't look for masters. It looks for servants. I have found David, my servant, not my master. With my holy oil, have I anointed him? There must be the heart of servanthood. Number five, secret is the lifestyle of sanctification. Lifestyle of sanctification. A clean life, a pure life, a holy life. And I don't have the time, but let me share this with you. When Samuel arrived to anoint somebody in the house of Jesse, you know what he said? Jesse, call yourselves together and sanctify yourselves. All of you, sanctify yourselves. How many of you are Bible students? You know that. Sanctify yourself. And the Bible says, and Jesse sanctified himself and his children. And then he wanted to anoint. God said, not so. The oil is correct, but the head is wrong. Not so. Number two, not so. Number three, not so. Number four, not so. Number five, number six, number seven. What? God, you sent me here to anoint a king, and they have lined everybody here, and God said they are remaining. It's not here yet. Say, you are the one now. Samuel, you are the one that did your own thing. I told you, when you go to the house of Jesse, I will show you whom you will anoint. When you arrive, you should have asked me, Lord, who is the one? And then you now just lined up everybody and you are doing trial and error. They said there remained one in the bush. But we did not consider him a palace material. It is because you say you want to anoint a king. That is why we presented these people. This other one doesn't look like it. There are people here, you may not look like it. Your parents, your family may think you don't look like it. But God is about to shock your family. He's about to shock your generation. Shout the loudest, amen. Please take your seat. Take your seat. Listen to this. Samuel said, we shall not sit down until he comes. And when he arrived, God said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Do you see? God didn't say sanctify him. He arrived sanctified. He arrived sanctified. For the others, they needed to be sanctified, and yet the oil could not flow. But this was a man that lived in the sanctification realm. He doesn't need to go apart for any reason. Anoint him now. He is already qualified. Is God speaking to somebody here? Smith Wigglesworth said, don't try to get ready. Live ready. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace to live ready. What number are we? What number have we finished? Number five. Life of sanctification. Number six, living for a cause. Living for a purpose. A life that is defined by a purpose. David said, is there not a cause? When somebody was challenging him, what are you going? Don't you have a reason for being alive? I exist for the defense of the name of God. You may not exist for anything. And when you don't know where you are going in life, you will not like where you will end. And then when you don't have a purpose for your life, people will assist you to give you purpose. That's what kept many people in prison. How many of you, I came across something in Alice in the Wonderland. One day I was just sitting down a few minutes, and it was in a big bread that was going, and asked somebody, where is this road leading to? And the person replied, where do you want to go? And she answered, nowhere in particular. Then the person replied, then it doesn't matter where the road goes. Just go. Where is this road going to? Answer, where are you going? Reply, nowhere in particular. And then it doesn't matter. It's like, buy your Miss Shegun and say, Shege, how now? I want to go Abiokuta, come quickly. Say, you want to go? Say, what did they do? I'm not doing anything. Oh, I'm traveling to Ibadan now. James, I'm traveling to Ibadan. Tony, I feel follow you. Are you not doing anything? Nothing. I'm not doing anything. One day I saw somebody, I said, he was so broken financially, I wanted to assist him. I said, I want to give you money. What will you want to do if I give you some money? He said, let me go and think about it. That guy did not return back for almost 6 months. He did. So I told myself, I said, don't blame God. What is your purpose? What are you doing with your life? Why are you dressing? Why are you eating? You ate and fueled your body to achieve what? Why are you sleeping? You rested to wake up to achieve what? Live for a purpose. Number 7. Living with vision. Please take your seat. We are talking about secrets of an exceptional life. Living with vision. What is purpose? This is the reason why I'm alive. What is vision? This is where I am seeing. This is where I want to go. This is where I will be tomorrow. Living with vision. Vision means seeing ahead. Seeing it to seize it. Perceiving it to achieve it. Visualizing it to realize it. What do I mean by that? David said to Goliath, come to me and I will cut off your head. Do you cut somebody's head with catapult? I will kill you. I will take your head off you. What was just David doing? He was seeing a vision. He saw himself kill Goliath, saw himself collected his knife, and saw himself use his knife to cut his head. So while he was saying, come and I will kill you and take off your head, he was eyeing Goliath's sword. What are you eyeing? Hey! Stand up on your feet and help me tell 3 people. What are you eyeing? What are you seeing? What are you eyeing? What are you eyeing? What are you seeing? The Lord, a big shout of praise. A big shout of praise. Look at somebody again, say, what are you eyeing? By this time next year, what are you eyeing? Take your seat. And truly, he collected Goliath's sword and use it to cut off his head. What you don't see coming will never come. The tomorrow you don't see does not exist. What does not cross your mind cannot cross your life. What is beyond your view is beyond your reach. Is God speaking to somebody here? Number 8, secret of the exceptional life is the full deployment of potential. The full deployment of potential. The full deployment of potential. What does that mean? Don't hold yourself back. Every time you have the opportunity to do anything, do it as if it is the last. Deploy. Fully download. The full deployment of your potential. This life is not a rehearsal for another life. Only life. We are not rehearsing for another life. So don't live like you are doing rehearsal. If they say come and do opening prayer, it's not rehearsal. I play the saxophone. For some of you who understand. One day we're in my office playing with our saxophonist, and all of a sudden the whole atmosphere was charged with the presence of God. And I said, Lord, what is happening? He said, I don't understand rehearsal. You think you are rehearsing to play, but I am enjoying the play. I came to enjoy the play. From that day forward, I realized that I am not rehearsing. Choir, sing even during rehearsal like you are singing in reality. Whatever you do, do it with a sense of reality and a sense of finality. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus. Louder, in the name of Jesus. I shall deploy my potential. Take your seat. Please. That was number eight. That was number eight. Number nine now. We are going to number nine. Number nine. Develop your skill. Anything you do, sharpen your skill. There is a law of excellence that says today's excellence is tomorrow's mediocrity. What we celebrate today, we can only tolerate tomorrow. You doubt me, go to your village. In 1980, there was a house that was very beautiful. How is that house now? It was the best house in town. There is a law of excellence that says anything that is visible, that is audible, that is tangible, is improvable. Whatever is visible, audible, tangible, is improvable. If you can see it, and if you can hear it, and if you can touch it, it can be improved. It's not the best yet. Excellence is an adventure, not a destination. You don't come and say, I have reached. Whatever you are doing, no matter how good you are doing it, there is a better way to do it. It can still be better still. If you want to live an exceptional life, you must make up your mind to develop your skill. Number 10. Possess fearless courage and a fighting spirit. Exceptional vessel. You must possess fearless courage and a fighting spirit. What is courage? Courage is not the absence of fear. It is motion despite fear. You are still moving. Our AGO from Kenya, I traveled to Kenya some time ago, and they took us to the wildlife national park. So when we're in that national park, I know that the difference between a zoo and a park is that in the zoo, the animals are caged. In the park, you are the one caged. The animals are free to move, but you are inside the vehicle. You dare not get out. So we're moving. Lions were running everywhere. And we came to a place full of baboons. And the tall guy said, you can come down here now. Here is safe. Safe? We just saw lion now. How safe is here? He said, here is safe. I looked, I said, faith is not foolishness. Let me ask a question. If a lion appears now, what do we do? The man gave us two therapies. He said, lie flat on the ground, motionless. Behave as if the lion did not come. Or stand still, looking in another direction. He said, the lion will smell and go. He said, but when you start running or when you start shaking, it is confirmed that you are food. saw some people walking free, and the lions were in their midst. They were walking. I opened my mouth and said, who are this one?
He said, the Maasai tribe. The Maasai tribe. The Maasais.
I said, why are they moving like this?
He said, lions fear them.
I said, why? He said, because they kill lions.
He said, for a Maasai young man, age 12 to 15, to be admitted as a man, he has to bring the head of a lion.
And before somebody can give you his daughter in the Maasai tribe, the lion head is about one of the things you present to show you are a man.
He's in Kenya. So when they are coming, lion is moving. Another one wants to kill me again. Let me just move for this guy. Do you know the meaning of that? The roaring lion fears those who don't fear him. The devil fears those.
You cannot amount to anything in life without fearless courage and the fighting spirit. For from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force.
Remain standing. Remain standing.
The spirit of a fighter. What stopped my father? I am going to stop you. What stopped my family members? I am going to stop you. Devil, you cannot kill me before my time. Devil, you cannot waste me before my time. I am going to kill you.
Remain standing. I said remain standing because I don't want to take more time. I told you I will give you 12 secrets. How many do we have? Number 11. Please do it on your feet. It's a sense of urgency. It's called what? Live with a sense of urgency. Live on the run. To take life casual is to end like a casualty. Don't drag your feet through life. Be given to urgency. A man of urgency. A man of high velocity. For many of us, yesterday was the best time to do what you are thinking of doing tomorrow. Why did I say a sense of urgency? When David's father sent him to the field, the Bible says he ran to the host. When, after he finished talking to Goliath, the Bible says he hasted and ran towards Goliath. The man didn't know how to walk. He operates as a runner. And it is runners that fulfill vision.
Make the vision plain that he may run.
Not walk, not crawl. A sense of urgency. Procrastination is the killer of destiny. I'll do it tomorrow. The spirit of delay is the killer of destiny. Indecision is the wastage of destiny. Indecision. Am I communicating at all? And you must not waste your time and never allow time wasters around your life. Time wasters are life wasters. Because time is the building block of life. That is why it is called lifetime. You are sitting in the office and somebody who doesn't know what to do with his life just walks into your office. If he talks more, stand on from your seat and say, so when next shall we see, please? And usher him out of your life in a hurry. Loving people is a command, but relationship is a choice. Exist with a sense of urgency, and finally, always go the extra mile. Hello?
Always do what? Always do what? Don't just stand up, stand out. Always go the extra mile. Don't do the things that just things that are required of you. Do more than is required. Let me just give you one example of extra mile. Joseph came before Pharaoh, and the only thing Pharaoh wanted was for somebody to interpret his dream. I dreamt a dream. I don't know the interpretation. That was his only assignment. He would have said, Pharaoh, this was what you dreamt, and this is the interpretation. Pharaoh would have said, thank you so much. I am very, very grateful. See you next time. They would have refunded him to the prison. But he told Pharaoh, that is the interpretation, but I have a solution. That is extra mile. He went beyond job description. Go beyond job description. And by the time he finished telling Pharaoh the solution, Pharaoh said, who is it? You have just finished describing yourself. You are not permitted to return back to the prison. Go the extra mile. David was not sent to the battlefield to fight Goliath. He was sent to give food to his brothers. But he went the extra mile. Any extra miler here? You are a mechanic. They gave you a car to repair. You finished repairing the car. You washed it in, out, engine everywhere, and brought it to the man. You say, what? You brought him change. What? Extra mile. Lift up your two hands. Oh, shut it. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Open your mouth and speak to God. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands high up and say, Father, I receive the grace for an exceptional life. Passion for God. Compassion for the needy. The acceptance of responsibility. The heart of servitude. Living for a curse. Living for a purpose. A life of uprightness. The full release of my potential. The development of skill. Fearless courage. A sense of urgency. Going the extra mile. I receive that grace now. Open your mouth and speak to God. Pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Grace. Open your mouth and pray. Open your eyes. Open your mouth and pray. I receive that grace to go the extra mile. Extra mile. Extra mile. An exceptional life. I receive that grace now. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Quickly, two more prayers. Hold the hand of somebody by your side. Two. And pray with that person. Say, Father, this your son or your daughter shall not waste his life. Shall not waste her life. Make this life exceptional. Oh Lord, open your mouth and pray. Make this life exceptional. Make this life exceptional. Make this life exceptional. Jesus, precious name. Lift up your two hands as I pray. If you came out in the morning when Dr. Miss Anencia gave an altar call, please, you don't need to come out again. I want to pray for everyone here. You came out earlier on today when she gave a call for those who want to surrender their life to Christ. You don't need to come out again. But you didn't come out before. And you want to say to me, Pastor, you have been preaching about me. I want to become serious with God. I want to be free of negative lifestyle, of the life of unbelief, the life of sin, the life of guilt, so that my life can make a meaning. I'd like you to rush to the front here. If you didn't come out before, if you came out before, don't come. But if you didn't come, you can come now. I'll give you the count of 10. One, I want my life to be holy. I want my life to make meaning. I want to surrender to Jesus. I want today to mark a new day for me. I want to be exceptional. I want to be exceptional. I want to be exceptional. My life shall be exceptional. My life shall be exceptional. Shall be exceptional. Shall be exceptional. Shall be exceptional. Keep coming. Keep coming. Quickly. I need to be forgiven of my sins. To be forgiven of my sins. To become a new person. In Jesus' name. Lift the hands high and say, Father. Everybody say after me. Say, Father, I come before you today. Those still coming on the road, keep praying as you come. Make me a new person. Oh Lord, today I have decided to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. Give me the grace to live for you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of sin broken of your life. I declare grace released upon you to live for God and to serve God. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody here, place your right hand on your forehead and leave the other hand up. I prophesy upon you, this message I preach today, may it produce a drastic difference in your life. To live an exceptional life. I arrest the spirit of mediocrity, average living, ordinary existence. It is arrested. In Jesus' precious name. Remain standing 1 minute. The counselors are on my right hand. They will lead you. The rest of us standing. I want you to shake the hands of 10 people. Tell them in the name of Jesus, you shall not waste your life. You shall not. Go ahead and do it. Counselors can move. You shall not waste your life. In the name of Jesus.
You cause walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we stand here only because you made. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall. There is nothing that's impossible, and we stand in here only because
you
say you move,
you move mountains. You cause walls to fall
with your power.
With your power,
perform miracles.
Impossible.
And we're standing here
only because you made
it. Praise God.